Conversations about the weather can no longer be regarded as small talk. Weather often crosses different parts of speech. It is a noun indicating climatic conditions. As weathered, it is an adjective that describes an altered appearance, wear due to exposure. And as a verb, to weather, it can mean to make it through an event, to endure, though not necessarily resisting change. We are feeling the effects of the weather. We are weathering, becoming weathered, while also continuing on. What shelters and what frameworks must be constructed, not to withstand the weather, but to change with it? Correspondence 3.1 considers artistic practice in the ever-changing context of a climate emergency. With a particular focus on materials, this issue contains contributions by Raewyn Martin, Melissa McLeod, Isabella Loudon, Claudia Dunes, Hannah Pero Aki, Te Kawiho Hoskins, Alison Jones, and Lulu Callister Baker. Stemming from some themes of her doctoral dissertation, Raewyn Martin's contribution, Circles and Lines, explores tools for living with and changing with the climate in the context of global capitalism and socioeconomic thinking. Citing Arlie Russell Hochschild's allegory of the line and what it means to think in linear terms about an individual's access to collective resources, Raewyn proposes that climate change be met with big-hearted action, reminding us that art has a way of imagining beyond immediate realities. I've been thinking a lot about guilt and its function in artistic practice, particularly in making material choices, and beyond that in everyday life. But guilt is also sticky, attaching itself to certain things, sometimes prematurely or without justification. Still, our aim should be to preempt the action which causes guilt, shouldn't it? In Material Costs, a conversation between Isabella Loudon, Melissa McLeod, and Arissa Keane, we discuss imperfect outcomes, personal best practice standards, and institutional and social pressures. We note the internal conflict artists sometimes face in bringing more matter into a world that already feels full of things. In response to this, I want to say here that contemporary art is necessary. It exists as a way to make sense of our surroundings, consciously or not. It is also unique as a record of current times. Artists will always work with what they're interested in and what is available to them, meaning that the work is inextricably embedded in social and cultural context. The larvae of the Zophobus morio beetle are better known as superworms. Some insect larvae possess a particular enzyme in their gut microbes, which can break down polyethylene products, including polystyrene. Even though news articles say that nobody is intending to unleash dozens of square tons of larvae into a rubbish tip, rather scientists are trying to find a way to replicate the enzyme which breaks down the complex carbon chains, bypassing the worms altogether, I still can't escape thoughts of a utopic writhing pit. The superworms became an interest for artist Claudia Dunes in 2020. Claudia's resulting project, Proposition for Future Pet, was shown as part of her final MFA exhibition. For about 4 months, Claudia housed a colony of superworms within a repurposed fish tank, caring for them and adjusting their environment as she began to better understand their needs. Claudia's project proposes that we proceed with affection and empathy towards these incredible critters and others that not only live with, but live off our waste. You'll find documentation from this project in this issue. Galleria melanella waxworms, which metamorphose into wax moths, also eat polystyrene when they're given no alternatives. Imagining the possibilities of waxworms, Lulu Callister Baker's short story, Melancholic Melanella, provokes us to consider a gruesome solution to eliminating the microplastics which inevitably circulate in our bodies. In Meeting the Lake, Hannah Pero Aki writes in acknowledgement of Te Kawiho Hoskins and Alison Jones's Non-Human Others and Kaupapa Māori Research. The chapter was originally published in Critical Conversations in Kaupapa Māori in 2017, by Huia Publishers. Working from a Kaupapa Māori foundation, to Kawiho and Allison attempt in this chapter to engage their research more directly in consultation with non-human entities, consulting Hongihika's moko on the 1819 Kerikeri land deed, and focusing on what the moko mark itself might have to communicate. This essay is one that Hana has been returning to often. Here we republish an extract of this chapter alongside Hana's reflections on the clarity and generosity of Te Kawiho and Allison's words. The title, Meeting the Lake, nods to a quote by the late Anishinaabe Ojibwe thinker Wabi Kinyu, found in the footnotes of Non-Human Others and cited by Hana, referring to all things being in equal relation to one another, as opposed to a subject human acting upon an object thing. A person meets the lake rather than goes to get water. The title of this issue, Conversations About the Weather Can No Longer Be Regarded as Small Talk, is something I've been thinking about for a long time. But the reality of the sentiment only sunk in after the extreme weather events earlier this year. Severe flooding in Tamaki Makaurau in January 2023 preceded February's Cyclone Gabrielle, the tropical cyclone whose destruction is still being and will continue to be felt broadly across Te Ika a Maui. Last month in Ototahi, we all received a weather alert direct to our phones for severe winds, that familiar heart-sinking sound. With El Niño coming this summer, I don't look forward to forecasts for warm weather in Ototahi, as with it will inevitably come the hot, dry nor'west wind. As an editor, I hope that you find the contents of this publication new and of interest. I also hope that you find some comfort in knowing that it is compostable.